Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and best-selling author. Today, I'm having a wonderful guest with me, and her name is Sin Hannah, and she is something very, how would I say that, very interesting to me because of the subjects she's covering. And I just want to introduce her to you right now so you know a little bit on who's going to be on the show. Sin actually believes if you can dream it, you can believe it, or you can live it. Sin knows firsthand what it means to transform tragedy into triumph. And for nearly a decade, she has taught and a proven, repeatable formula for transformation that has helped her clients create quantum leaps in their results, both personally and professionally. She also has shared the stage with the internationally acclaimed transformational teacher Mary Morrissey and actress and wellness advocate Marielle Hemingway. Sin is a certified life mastery consultant, dream builder coach, life coach with certification CTA, a grief recovery specialist, and grief intuitive coach. Her passion is empowering people to achieve tangible results so they can say, I love my life. So just knowing that already gives me goosebumps because I'm really attracted to people who see value in being alive, who see a purpose in being alive. So, Sin, are you on? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And Denise, I just want to say thank you for inviting me here. I'm really happy to be here sharing this time with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I was really blessed when you said you would like to be on the show and you started sharing a few things with me. And those things, as much as they're not usually that common, they're very powerful. So I just want to ask, what was your trigger to find your passion to transform tragedy into triumph?
Well, for me, it was when the unimaginable happened. And that was, you know, I was basically a single mom raising my son, and we were super close. And it was when he died that everything fell apart, and I had to, you know, pick up the pieces from that, you know.
Are you open and willing to say how that happened, if it was an accident or if it was something health related?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to share that story. My son was a high IQ kid. I mean, he was like off the chart smart. He, you know, in seventh grade, he did high school calculus. And in eighth grade, he was doing online math at Stanford, just to put it in perspective how smart he was. And when it came time to do his SATs for college, they had not, at his high school, not enough kids had signed up for chemistry, so he wasn't able to take the chemistry class, but he signed up for the chemistry SAT. And he got almost an 800, which is 100% on SATs from just reading the book. I know. So this is how bright this kid was. And there came a point where his big, beautiful mind just turned on him, and he ended up being bipolar. And I think there's a chance he might have been schizophrenic as well. And I brought him home. We brought him home from college, and to get him the help that he needed, the psychiatrist, the meds, the therapist, he refused to take his meds. And within a very short period of time, he had taken his own life.
I am so sorry, but I can feel for you because my daughter is bipolar and she was on meds until she moved up in the mountains in our house and got kicked off the insurance. And so she's been without meds now for 7 years. And whenever anything doesn't go her way, she's talking about taking her life. So I never know if I find her alive or if I find her dead when I go up there. So I actually empathize with you. I feel your pain just talking about it because I'm still there. She's now 34 and does not have a clue about life. It's just really, really difficult. And she's definitely bipolar, which came from my husband's side. But my grandmother was schizophrenic, and we checked with the doctors first. And they said, oh, you don't have to worry about anything. Well, little do they know. I think we as mothers have more of an instinct of what needs to be done than doctors with book knowledge. So,
that's one of the things that I've learned is that we do need to trust our intuition, and we need to be our own advocate or our children's advocate while going through a process with the doctors, because they don't know everything.
Yeah. Yes. So did you ever think you'd get over such a tragic event?
When it first happened, no. I was so scared. I was in such shock and such pain, and it's a state I can't even really describe. And I was terrified. I was terrified that I would be in that much pain for the rest of my life. I was scared to grow old without my son in my life. And what was sort of interesting, and I was really sad that my son would not get to grow up to see his potential. You know, he was so smart and he was so sweet and funny. So, no, I was not thinking. But there also was a part of me that was saying that I would get through, because I remember one woman called me, and God bless her for calling me and saying anything, because a lot of people were afraid to, but she called to say that she was really sorry, and she said, you are going to be a walking shell of a person for the rest of your life. And I know, you know, if she heard me, if I said it back to her now, she'd probably go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I said something so awful. But I think it was her fear of who she would be if something like that happened. But I remember mm-hmm. when she said that to me, and I thought, no, I won't be. So there was a part of me that was terrified, and there was a part of me that's like, nope, I'm going to get through this. And it tapping into that part of me, because I think we all have two parts of us, the part that wants to move forward and the part that's scared to and wants to stay where we are in life, no matter what it is, you know, if we're just wanting to expand our business. And we need to train ourselves to listen to the part of us that wants the bigger, fuller, more expanded life.
So true. You know, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a child, but that's the worst. But it can be a parent, it can be a friend, it can be a relative or somebody else. And it's the same there. We really need to look inside of us and see, does it serve us to totally fall apart, or does it serve the people around us, or is there a way for us to be strong and actually make the best out of this sad situation? So that's actually going to my next question. How did this tragedy make you feel? And did you ever want to die at the beginning till you got yourself back into the driver's seat?
Well, if I could go back for a moment and say a couple things you said brought up things in my mind, if that would be okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. What I heard you say was, we don't want to fall apart. And when you're grieving, you really have to let yourself fall apart for a while, because that's part of the grieving process. And it was one of the parts that I sort of fought, because I was afraid if I went down in the dark hole, I might never come out again. And so we need to be selfish when we're just grieving and fall apart if that's what we need to do, but not allow ourselves to stay there indefinitely. And the other thing that you said, that when it is a common belief that losing your child is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I had that belief. And I remember one day I was in my living room and I was just sobbing, saying, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. And this little voice in my head very quietly just said, now is it really? And that little voice just stopped me in my tracks. I stopped sobbing and I thought about it. And I thought, well, what could be worse? And you know, I came up with some kind of gruesome stuff. You know, but one of the things that did come up was that if I had never had my son. And that would be worse, because there are many women who yearn to be a mother, and they would love to have had 21 years. My son was 21 when he transitioned to be a mother. And in thinking that this was not the worst thing, it changed my perspective. And that helped me get through it so much, because I wasn't going, oh, my God, the worst thing that could ever happen happened. It was like, no, it's not the worst thing. And I also learned a very big lesson that we can change our perspective on things anytime we want, which will change our experience of it. And it's all up to us to just redirect our thinking. And that, to me, was a really big aha moment.
Yes, and, absolutely. Go ahead.
And and you asked me if I ever wanted to die, and I absolutely. I think that's a really common, I've learned this since then, talking to many mothers who have had a child transition before them, that wanting to die is a very common feeling when you're a parent and you're grieving. And it might be for other people when they're grieving, but I have connected more with the parents. And so it's just, it's a feeling that's going to pass, so that you don't take action on it. You don't do something about it. I had spent all this time wishing I could die, but meanwhile I'm going and getting certified as a grief recovery specialist, a grief intuitive coach. I was on the board of directors for the crisis hotline in Idaho. I got very involved in my community with support and bringing knowledge for suicide awareness. I was doing all these things and many times feeling like I wish I could die. And I wanted to share that, so it's not like I was just sitting home, you know. But and then one day I was standing in my kitchen, and my heart physically hurt so much that I thought I might be having a heart attack. And in that moment, I thought I could die, and I realized I didn't want to die. And I decided right then, well, if I don't want to die, then I'm going to go live, and I'm going to go live full out. And that was another really big moment for me, because it was like, okay. Because I think that all, when we were going to change anything in our life, a decision precedes it. And so I decided in that moment, I'm coming back to life, and I'm doing this, and I'm going to live an even better life than I was before my son left. And I also believe, because I made that decision, that my mentor that I have been studying with came into my life. Because the universe will support us once we've decided, truly decided for something.
So true. So that actually answers the next question. What's the good that has come out of this experience? So it actually has made you strong and creating programs or things to help other people, volunteer and whatnot. Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I have more compassion for people. I mean, I thought I had a lot of compassion before because I had a really rough childhood, and then I went through therapy for that and got in touch with my own pain, so then I could have an understanding for other people's pain. But this took me to a whole new level of compassion, because I remember walking around thinking, how can someone feel this much emotional pain and still live? And so I've got more compassion than I had before. I trust in a higher power. I trust in God. I trust in this infinite intelligence. And the trust in that brings me that there is always good happening no matter what the circumstance is, even in the death of your only child. There is some good coming out of this. And so I have gotten through so many situations changing my perspective by trusting that we live under an umbrella of good, even when there are these things going on that don't look like good. And it also... it gave me this confidence that I can get through anything. Do I want to get through more stuff? No. You know, I don't want to. But as my mentor told me just recently, she said, you know, Spirit's not going to let you out of here until you came to get everything that you came to learn. So there might be more stuff. But so I have that. And the other thing is that I believe it's made me a really good coach. Because, one, I have compassion for whatever someone may be going through. And a lot of times I work with people who have good lives, but they just feel like something's missing, or they're very successful, but they've sacrificed their health or their relationships to get there. And I can stand knowing that there isn't any condition that they're facing, no matter how big it might seem to them, that can't be changed. So I'm not impressed by their conditions, because if I get impressed by that, then I can't help them.
So it's actually not affecting you emotionally whatsoever. It's just so, but you're trying to help them make the best out of it and maybe see different ways. It seems like I can relate to above the line and below the line thinking. I don't know if you know what I mean with that. If you don't, I can explain it.
Well, yes, please explain it, because I'm not really clear and other people might not be either.
Okay, perfect. So what I just learned is the above the line living is when you have a positive mindset, when you use the... We have three words in my coaching thing, which are stop, challenge, and choose. And you kind of said that. The stop, when something happens, you say stop and take a deep, slow breath to help bring your emotions under control. Then challenge yourself by thinking about why you're feeling or acting the way you are and ask yourself, is this even true? That's what you did too. And then choose the best behavior that supports what you really want. So when you do those things, you actually don't have time to dwell on negativity. You want to push forward the positive thing and help people and be a positive attitude yourself, because the negative people pull you down so badly, it's not even worth it. So that's why they say you become kind of like the five people that are closest to you, because you adapt to them, but it doesn't have to be. And that you can leave people out who are not positive, so you have more time for the positive, and it strengthens you in mental growth. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's the law of proximity.
Yeah.
The five people you hang
yeah.
out with the most, and even your incomes will be similar. And it's not
yeah.
that the income level or the, but it's the ideas that are contagious and the energy.
Right.
So like you said, whether it's positive or negative. So it, yeah,
right.
absolutely. It's so we want to not go get rid of all our friends, but we want to be very careful about who we're spending our time with, what energy is coming into our life. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I have even learned with my mom, I love her dearly, and she just turned 89, but she's still under the impression that I'm her little girl that she took on when she married my dad. And I just go, Mom, I am an adult. I'm closer to 70 than to 60, and I deserve to have a mind of my own. I don't need to do what you want. So if she keeps on telling me you have to, and this is the way we do things, I say, Mom, I really love you, but you know what? I just realized I have another call in 2 minutes. I need to get ready for my client. I love you. I'll call you soon again. Bye. Have a great day. And I can hang up. And it sounds positive to her. She doesn't feel that I got, I was thinking and using that stop, challenge, choose, that I didn't say anything I would regret, because I still feel very strongly that I need to respect my parent,
mm-hmm.
the only one alive. And not say something that I cannot take back. And so that's the difference between living below the line. I would say, Mom, you tick me off. I can't do this. I got to go. Bye. And that sounds very negative. You can feel it already. It's changing everything, the aura around you and everything. Versus when I say, Mom, I have a call coming in 2 minutes with a client. I really got to go. I love you. I'll call you back again. Then it's kind of like uplifting, and she knows she didn't do really anything wrong on purpose, because that's the thing. She has a really good heart, and
that's where
we're going with this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
No, that's really nice, and that you are aware, so that you take care of yourself and get off the phone when you want, and you do it in a nice way. One of the things that I help my clients with, and it's kind of a little bit like what you were saying, but it's to have a vision for all parts of their life. So if you're visioning up how you would like your relationship with your mom to be, then your energy is going to shift, because you start to be the person who's already in the relationship you're dreaming up. And if that's a loving relationship where you've got boundaries, and then you're going to take action steps like you just did, you know, which are loving and positive, yeah. Versus turning it into a fight.
Oh, yeah, because I know how I felt at the beginning before I had the skills that I have now. And I got really angry with her, and I started even using words that I never used with her before. And I go, Denise, you're living below the line. When I realized that, I go, I can't do this ever again. I need to find ways to be supportive of her, loving her for who she is, knowing she wants the best, and knowing she does not know what's best over here because she lives in Switzerland and I live in the United States. And knowing that Switzerland fits 30 times into California alone, you can fathom how different the lifestyles are and the culture and the traditions. So that's why it's really, I'm blessed that I got to learn this.
Yeah,
so,
and I think one thing that can help us live above the line is not to take things personally. So if she's telling you what to do, like you're the little kid, you don't take it personally. It's just, oh, this is mom's level of awareness. This is her thought patterns of, you know, till the day she dies, I'm going to be the little girl.
Yeah, and you know what? The fun part is she did not have to do this. She did not have to take me in. I think I told you once before that my biological mom died at 21 when I was 10 months old. And then when I was 2, my dad married my bonus mom, as I call her, because she's really done the best she can. And I adore her for that, and I appreciate her. So that's why it is so important for me to be above the line, to honor her, respect her, and treat her with courtesy and all that, rather than wanting to insist that I'm right. I've been gone for 40 years, so she doesn't really know me like she did, because I've changed tremendously. That's obvious in a different land, different language, different culture. But she starts, actually, the more I'm positive with her and the less I complain, the more she comes around and starts giving me compliments, which she didn't do before. And I go, wow, awesome. So, having said that, though,
say one thing about that. So, really good job. And that's the power of shifting your energy. Because when we change our energy, no matter what the circumstances are, things start to change. And so your mom, your bonus mom, she started to change. Your energy changed, so your interactions did, and then she started to change where she's complimenting you. And it kind of works like magic.
Absolutely. It is. I mean, it was magical for me because I never heard her say those words. She said this time when I went over there just last week, oh my gosh, you look so much better than you ever did. I said, I looked great 2 years ago. She goes, but now you're calmer, you look better, and you seem to be thinking differently. And I go, wow, she notices? You know, so despite the fact that all my siblings say, oh, she has dementia, blah, 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 she is still totally aware of so many things. And that's why I need to set a positive precedence for everything I do, just so she knows she's loved. And I understand that she has one way of living and I have a different way. And we can kind of match the two when we're together. But then when I'm here, I have to live my way here, and she has to continue her life there. So that goes back, actually, to the point where you had that tragic experience. And did you have any key moments or insights that came to you from this experience of losing your son?
Well, I had the one where I realized it wasn't the worst thing that could happen, and that I can change my perspective on anything at any time, which can be very beneficial. I also realized there was one day I was walking around in the grocery store, and I was in so much emotional pain, and I was looking at people, and I was thinking, who else is in this much pain, and I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what these people's stories are. And in that moment, I decided that I was going to start giving people the benefit of the doubt, because I, you know, sometimes someone's rude to us and we think, well, you know, we get like we have a reaction to it. But if we knew the story, if we knew that maybe their only child just died and they're just barely in their body, we would feel differently about it. And so I decided I'm going to start giving everybody the benefit of the doubt going forward. And that has made a huge difference for me. I've also learned to not sweat the small stuff, because in perspective, like, a lot of things aren't important, you know. If you're, you know, in the last moments of your life and you look back and you're going to go, is this a big thing or not? And typically it's a not. So I've gotten a lot more easygoing. Yeah, and then the other thing that's really come from me, and that I really try to hang on to this one, is just that life is short. So do what you love. Do it big, do it boldly, but just go do it. And to hang on to that, so when the, you know, fear might come back up and try to stop me, or, you know, what people might think of me or that kind of thing, that I don't allow that to stop me. I had a big fear of public speaking. And as a life coach, if you don't get out there and speak, people don't really know about you. So I was coaching undercover, and then I was coaching part-time before my son died. I had another job. I was afraid to come out. But then right after he died, I thought, you know, it's time. My greatest fears already happened. So what do I have to be afraid of now? And I thought, okay, I've got to start walking through these fears. And I decided that I was going to speak at his life celebration. And there were 500 people there. God bless them for all showing up and supporting us. And it was the first time I'd ever spoke in public. But I just thought, I got to start doing this, and this is a moment to honor my son that I will never get back in all of eternity, and that I did not want to regret that I did not step up there, whether I could utter a word or not. So that was the first time I ever spoke in public.
Wow, that is really big. And yes, there is no way you would get that moment back. So you did the very best. And you just said something that my hubby and I made as our motto after his father passed, that we took care of for the last 6 years of his life. He was supposed to live 2 weeks to 2 months, and we had him for 6 years. So when he went, we decided that our motto is do your best, give your best, be your best daily, so you won't have any regrets. And that's exactly what you just said before. So I put that down everywhere. I said, you know what? You need to talk to the people when they're alive. Once they're dead, you going to the graveside and crying over them or crying over spilled milk, it does not serve anybody for anything, but make things right while the people are alive, and then you won't have any regrets. And honestly, I've been able to experience that now over the last few deaths that we just had in the family. And it makes a huge, huge difference. And with everybody that passes, I get to learn something. And I wonder, is there anything else you learned from the loss of your son?
Yeah, you know, what was the last part? I'm sorry.
Then what you already mentioned.
Oh, yeah, there was another experience that was right after he transitioned. I believe this happens because something so jarring to your nervous system happens, something that shatters your world so completely. Because I didn't know he was suicidal. I had no idea. I mean, it was one attempt and he was gone. I did not see the signs, and they were a little askew from when you read about and what the typical signs are. But
right.
And even his best friends didn't see it coming. But so I think that when something so jarring happens that your ego is just broken down and stripped away for a while, and you're very connected to infinite, you're connected to God, you're connected to the universe. And so there was all these downloads that came. But what also happened with the ego just gone for a window was I had no judgment. I didn't have judgment of people. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, this is what it feels like to have zero judgment. Well, I don't know if it was zero, but it was really low. And it felt so good. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, a wise friend, and I told her that. And she said, well, now you know what it feels like, so you can get back to that. And that is something that I try to hang on to as well, to not go to judgment, to remember what it felt like to and how great it felt to live free of judgment for a while.
That is awesome. You know, it usually doesn't serve anybody, especially not yourself, when you judge people. That's what I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really don't know what's going on in their hearts. There are people walking around with a big smile on their faces just to disguise the pain in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We don't know those things unless we ask and talk to them. And so who am I to judge? I am 100% with you on that one. Man, that's such a big point. That's
amazing.
Well,
and also, when we're judging people, we're on the frequency or the energy of judgment, and people feel that, whether we're judging ourselves
mm-hmm.
or them, you know, and we all judge ourselves. I mean, most of us have that little critical voice inside going all the time. So not only do we not want to judge others to be free, that energy up, but ourselves. I mean, we typically we'll talk to ourselves the way we would never talk to another person. We would never say sometimes
that's
the things
true.
We say to ourselves to a friend.
Yeah, so true. There are some people in my case that I experienced, they asked me a question, and I want to ask you, I hope you're okay with it. Does your son ever communicate with you? Because I was asked, does your mom ever communicate with you? I said, how would I know? I was 10 months old. Does your dad communicate with you? I said, well, yeah, I can feel what he would say. It's in the back burner of my head because I've lived with him for so long. So I can kind of hear what he wants to say to me, but does he really say it? So my question to you is, does your son ever communicate to you? And if he does, what are some of the messages he's given you?
Well, my son absolutely communicates with me. And the first communication I'll share with you in a moment, there were two communications that came when I didn't know to be looking for communication. So those I absolutely trusted. But as he kept coming in and communicating, I kept doubting, am I making this up? Just kind of like what you're saying. And he'd always say, Mom, really? We have to go through this again, you know? And then I just learned to trust. Just trust it's him. And the funny thing is, you know, I am writing this book, and it's got communications from my son and from me. And my husband's a really good editor. He's helping me do the initial edit before I send it to the editor and the publisher. And he keeps saying, Dex is a much better writer than you are. And I laugh because I just see it as validation that it was Dex coming through, because my writing is clunky and then Dex's is very much more smooth and to the precise. So they're just the different writing styles. But the first time he communicated with me was when my son went out and took his life, I woke up that night and I just could not sleep. And I think energetically I felt the, without having a clue what was happening, but I felt the cutoff of his energy because we were so connected in life. And I woke up in the morning in a panic that something was wrong. And I called his best friend, where he'd been staying the night before. All his friends were home from college. It was Christmas time. And I thought the mom would say, the boys are downstairs sleeping. Everything's fine. Because when I called, I just said, I need to know if Dex is all right. That's all I could say to her. But she said, well, we went to bed, Dex was here, and we woke up, he wasn't. And so I called his best friend's house, his dad's house, and I called all these places, and everybody thought I was overreacting. But I was just going by that gut feeling. And so that day, as the day wore on, and Dex, or in the morning, I went to town to look for him to see if he might be at any of the, his usual, the gym or where he might go, and just walk around looking for him. And I stopped by my office, and I felt this cloud of energy. Now, I don't know he's gone yet. I just am having this panic that something's wrong. And I can tell there's this cloud of energy. I don't see anything, but I can feel this cloud of energy. And it's in the corner of my office. And I recognize this cloud instantly as Dex. I don't even know how this works, but I knew it was Dex. And then he said a message inside my head that was very clear. It was audible inside my head, not outside. And he said, I'm sorry. And in that message was a whole download just from those words, but the download went in and it was, I'm not sorry I'm dead, but I'm sorry for all the pain it will cause you. So that was my first message, and I kind of forgot all about it as the day wore on, and, you know, because it was just sort of like, no, there's no way I'm living this, you know, you don't think it'll ever be you. And then we did not find his body for 6 more days. So I I just forgot about all of it. And then about 6 weeks after he was gone, I was standing in my kitchen and he's yelling in my head, go right, go right. And so I picked up a pen and paper and just, I could barely keep up with the words that were coming in. And that's the way he's continued to come in the best. I still hear him in my head, and but I write. And so I've written lots of messages from him. And the thing that to me is so really fascinating and cool is I kept asking him how life works, and he's telling me all these things. And they were all new to me at the time. And since then, my mentor that I study with, and I've studied him at a much deeper level to be able to help other people with what they want to create in their life, you know, however, you know, if they're already at good and they want to go to great. It's the same stuff that my son told me. You know, I have tools that I teach people and a very applicable, practical tools, but the concepts are the same. And I thought that was really interesting because I didn't know them when my son was telling them to me. So it's been interesting. And having that connection with my son, you know, I miss my son. I miss having him in the physical, but having that connection with him really helped me. It helped me get through it.
Amazing. That is so cool.
I've got a couple messages here if you want me to share a few.
Sure.
So one is, well, first of all, the one that made me laugh the most was he said, I was crying one day, and he said, lighten up, Mom, nobody died. And that I loved because it sounds like my son. It's my son's kind of humor. It was so Dex, and I started laughing. You know, there he was crying, and I started laughing when he said that, you know, because we don't die. We shed our body, but our spirit continues on, and I have no doubt about that now from my experiences. And another thing that he said is, Mom, enjoy every moment as though it's the only moment you have, because it is. We can only have the now. Be present, be open to all love has to give you, and give you it will. Life will give you exactly what you ask for, and you ask by what you think about and by what you expect. We so often learn to expect from what we have experienced in the past, and so round and round we go.
What a wise young man he was.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
And, yeah. So I've got one more here I could read if you like.
Please.
Okay, so life is really simple. Go play full out no matter what by doing what you love. Experience the joy, the heartbreak, the successes and the failures to their max. We are here on Earth to push our boundaries and experience life to the fullest. Not many people live life that way. Most play it safe, never realizing a fraction of their potential. Their potential to be victorious, to be happy, to really know themselves, to truly give their gifts and talents to the world, to be able to say, I went for it, I did it. That is most people's biggest regret when they cross over. They let logic and reason dictate how they live their lives and not passion and true fulfillment. You teach people another way to live life, a bigger, bolder, more loving way so they can experience all of it. Way to go, Mom.
Wow. That gives me goosebumps. That is amazing. You know, my daughter says similar things, and her IQ is really, really high, but her EQ, the emotional quotient, is so super low. It's just she can't deal with other people. And I just go, oh, my gosh, what can I do? Whenever I suggest something, it's, Mother, it comes from you. I'm not going to do it. I want to figure it out myself. And she does love me with all her heart, but she wants to be her own person yet. In 34 years, she's never had a job where she earned a penny. And I just go, oh, my gosh. I mean, she's fully dependent on us. And I just go, I need to make some changes, and it's hard. But then when I hear what you went through, I go, well, I still have a blessing. I still have her, despite the fact that she's emotionally draining me quite often. But now I'm finally to the point where I'm not taking everything personally anymore. I just say, okay, I'm glad you shared. Thank you. And then she goes, why aren't you getting mad at me? And I just said, what would it help? And she goes, oh, you just took the wind out of my sails. I go, well, I don't want to get mad at you, and I'm not going to allow this to happen because I'm in charge of my life now. And I would really, really love if you were in positive charge of your life and do something. She goes, I want to. But, you know, through all these stories and episodes and experiences, we get to learn things. So that brings me to the last question, I think. Are you actually thinking about, or are you writing a book about your experience with the loss of your son? And if you do or if you don't, what do you want others to know that may be going through a loss?
Yeah, so I am, as I had mentioned, I am writing a book, so thank you for asking me that directly, though. And it's about my experience through the grief, but it's not about all the awful stuff. It's more about the learning I had, what having gone through that process, what I'd recommend to people going through a typical, a loss. And it could be a divorce, loss of your health, loss of your finances, you know, the death of someone you love. But my real hope in the book is expanding people to thinking that there's always a bigger picture going on in our lives, even when, you know, the conditions of our lives aren't of our preference. There's always a bigger picture going on, and then there's the messages from my son in there. And I wrote this book. I never thought of myself as a writer or anything, but so many people, when I would share something about my experience or a message from Dex, they'd say, you've got to write a book. And then my son started saying, Mom, we got to write a book. This is our story. So you need to write the book. And I wrote it. And it's taken me a very long time to write it because it's not easy always going back over that material. Although I love the messages from my son, that part is good. So yes, there's the book. It's going to be given to the publisher in a couple of months. And I don't know exactly how long that process is from there. I don't know if it's another 6 or 8 months. Yeah.
Okay, make sure you give me the title and all that stuff when it's at the publishers before it gets out so we can help promote you and sell the book. Because I feel very deeply in my heart right now that you sharing the experience and the communication with your son and all that, it can definitely help many people who've been going through any type of loss, as you just mentioned. And it's important that we promote those things. It's better
yeah,
if you
thank,
read a good
thank
book
you.
Than to pop meds, you know.
Yeah, because I have a good life now. I do love my life. I am married for the first time. I have a great husband. We have fun together. And I do what I love, and I coach. And that brings me so much life, so much joy. And you had asked me what others, you know, I might want the big takeaway for people who are going through a loss to know. I would want them to know that no matter how painful it might feel, it can get better. And you can end up at a place that you love, a life that you love. And we can't always do this. In fact, we cannot do this alone. I got help. You know, I had my mentor,
yes,
and I had a spiritual coach when I was going through the grieving process. I went to a grief counselor, and that did not work for me, but because we have a way of thinking, and we need somebody to help us to expand that. But to know, no matter what it is you want to change in your life, you want to get through the loss, you want things to be different in your life, to know that you can absolutely get through this time. And it starts with a decision, to make a decision that your life is going to be different, and then watch how the universe starts to support you right away. You know, resources start to show up, ideas, people, to help you move forward.
True, so true. I love this. You've made so many amazing points, but as we get closer towards the end, I was wondering, did you have a gift that you wanted to offer? I think I would rather you talk about it so you can tell them what's going on for everybody who listens to the show.
Yeah, so I would love to offer a gift if you are looking for support. And what will the gift is a discovery session. We will talk on the phone for about an hour, and I will send you a questionnaire first, or when you sign up for it, the questionnaire is there on my website, and that will help you get very focused for the call. And then we'll talk about what's going on in your life right now that isn't what you want. I'm going to help you get really clear on a vision for a life you'd love to be living, because having a vision is number one step. I had to create a new vision for my life after my son was gone, because my vision had been, he'll be in my life, I'll be a grandmother, and I needed to change it. And for me, that was finding my passion, my purpose that was greater than my pain, and that's really helped me move forward. So I'll help you get clear on a vision for your life, and then we'll talk about what's holding you back from getting there. And this is whether you're experiencing a loss or you just want your life to be better in some way. You know, you want to be in better health. You want to be more successful. You want more free time. You want to be in a relationship. And then if it seems right, I will share with you how I can help you move forward. If you want to go to my website, SynHanna, C as in Charlie, YNHANNAH.com, at the bottom of the homepage is Book a Discovery Session. You can click there. There's a calendar, and the questionnaire is there.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so, and my goal, if I may, for anyone who has a discovery session is that you walk away with clarity and believing that you can have this life.
Wonderful. Wow. I think you're going to get, I hope a lot of people are going to listen to this and they're going to take you up on it, because that is so important that we make the best out of our lives. And sometimes we need a little kick or a little bit of help to get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on your call, on your show. I so appreciate it. This was really fun. I loved hearing about your stories. And, and God bless you with your daughter.
Yes, thanks. I need that. And I'll keep you in my prayers just so you keep on going forward. You know, you said you have a great marriage now and all that stuff. And you keep your son alive in your heart, because he will always be part of you. So that's pretty darn awesome. All right. So for this, we're going to end. Sin gave you the conclusion. She gave you the free gift for the discovery session. Please take her up on it and go sign up for one. And for my contact information, it's gythomson@gmail.com. If you would like to be on the show with me or have any questions or suggestions, make sure you put it in the subject line so I know that it's not spam. Or you can voicemail or text me at 562-335-4956. So that's it for today. We'll talk
again
next
week. Could I add one more thing?
Please do.
Okay,
no,
so thank you. When I was hearing you say that, so if somebody isn't ready for a discovery session, still go to my website, because you can sign up for my newsletter, and so you'll get tips and inspirations for success. And also, I have an overwhelm buster gift. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, these are steps that will help you so that you don't have to go through life feeling like that.
Wow, marvelous. Thank you so much. Wow. So I have to say, this session has given me a lot of information that I was looking for. So I really, really appreciate you having been on here with me and shared the information so we can help each other and others who are listening and want to learn more. And we give them opportunities to get in touch with us, so they can get in touch with you via your website and with me with my email and my voicemail or text. So that is wonderful. I had a great time. Thank you so much. And I'll see all of you listeners next week again, same time, 11 a.m. Standard Time. And I wish everybody a most wonderful, happy, healthy, and blessed week. Goodbye.